Hi.
You're so sweet and kind to be here. I always feel like it's kind of a burden to come up to this weird house with all these fucking weird, like, taxidermy things. I haven't even showed you the weirdest shit yet. But thank you so much for being here.
No, and if anything, that's kind of the allure of it, too. So to come here and
to see weird shit.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I'm going to abuse him, Sarna, a lot tonight because he's really fucking pissing me off. He just asked me if I knew how to turn the lights out.
I didn't ask you if you...
Yes, you did.
Well, I kind of did. You're right.
Yeah, you totally did. You're a fucking dick.
Okay.
You did it, so thank you. It's much better now.
Okay.
All right, so Ken, I want to ask you, I don't normally dive into someone's personal biography, mostly because I'm not very interested in other people's stories, but my own, which I find continually fascinating. But I really want to dive into yours. Do you mind?
Oh, please, yeah.
Okay, so you were born in Detroit.
Yes, yes.
And when did you move?
Oh, yeah. I moved to North Carolina when I was 4 years old. So my dad is, he's now retired. He was an economics professor, and he got his...
Gross.
he got his degree. He got his PhD in economics at Wayne State University. And then, so, and he did his, I think, post-grad work and predominantly African-American college in North Carolina A&T in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he was a professor there for about almost 35 years or 38 years, something like that, you know.
So, and then you went to, and I really want to tap into this. So you went to Duke.
Yeah.
Was that a dream? How, like, how, because it's one of,
yeah, at that time.
Although I'm a hater. And I'm going to tell you more about that later. That's sorry, fine. Not to...
Everyone, 90% of the people I encounter, like,
sorry,
hate Duke.
All my
so it's all
Duke
good.
Listeners.
It's all
good. I love you so much.
I'm used to the hate, so it's okay. But no, when I was in high school, like, I wanted to be a doctor, and so Duke
But did you tour the campus when you were a kid? Did you? Because it's stunning.
Yeah, I did visit it once in high school. I think I was on some sort of field trip. But when I interviewed there, no, I actually had interviewed, I think, with an alumni in my hometown, and I got in. I kind of wanted to go because it was a good school. Because
it's fucking Duke.
It's fucking Duke, and it's an hour away from where my parents live. So you get that kind of out-of-state.
Sure,
feel.
You could go home on the weekends.
Yeah, because we can do laundry. Yeah, yeah. So it was the best of both worlds, and I really wanted to go, and yeah, it was great. It was four of the best years of my life.
Were you
great.
In a fraternity?
No, I wasn't. I actually, yeah, most of Duke is Greek, but no, I wasn't Greek. I wanted to go. I mean, my whole goal was to try to get into med school. And
did you live in a dorm?
Yeah, lived in a dorm. I think the senior year lived.
What was the name of your dorm?
My first freshman year was Trent Dorm, and
that's sexier than Haggett, which was mine.
Haggett, what school did you go to?
University of Washington.
Okay,
not quite the same as Duke, but you know.
Wait, did
we're working up there?
Did Joe McHale go? You?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Right. So, yeah, I did stand up there at University of Washington like years ago when I quit my day job to do comedy full time. Yeah, they had an Asian student, a Korean student association there. I think sometime in 2008. And I performed.
Really?
Yeah. It was me and two other Korean comedians, and we performed it.
Was it a good? Was it accepted?
Oh, it was great. It was like sold out. It was like 500 Koreans that were there, and we did
fuck
well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So you wash. Yeah. So no, I had a great time, and I had a great time at Duke, and it really it was great.
Wait, did you get laid?
Not much. I think the situation was once. No, I think that I was very, very inexperienced as a kid. So growing up, like, my relationships and really took off more in med school, and it had an introduction to that in at Duke. So it wasn't about the tang really at college. It was more about I kind of figured out who I was. I discovered acting at Duke. And
you did.
Yeah, so that's when I started getting into, and I think that's probably why, you know, when I think of Duke so much, is I didn't think I would ever become an actor. So when I was in college, when I was in high school, I never did theater in high school or anything like that. I did some bit of performing at the very end of my senior year in high school. And then in college, I just was interested in taking in my sophomore year, taking an intro to acting class.
Did your parents ever discourage you?
I was just going to ask him that.
Yeah. I mean,
as a first generation
sorry, will you
American.
Ken, do you mind telling him to say fuck you, Sam?
He's too nice. He won't do it.
I mean,
I challenge. Listen, who do you like better right now?
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry, it just came out. It was just.
Hey, that was good, though. I like the look you gave me,
thank
too.
You.
It was.
You looked. There was some real anger behind that.
I think it was the alcohol.
Thank you.
And the intimidation.
Blame it on
the intimidation.
Thank you.
And then the alcohol. And then
I can't believe you
got it. But I apologize, Sam. I just want to apologize very quickly.
Hey, you with dreamy eyes. And I'm so happy. Thank you. Let's get back to the question, though.
Yes.
Like, parents?
Parents, yeah, they were definitely very concerned. I talked about them a lot about it because, you know, as it turned out, I was concerned with them. So because my dad said, I don't deny your talent, and you're very talented,
right,
and you're good at what you do. And I had auditioned and got in the theater school at Duke, and my dad didn't want me to enroll.
Excuse me.
And
I do that all the time.
The silent burp. And he was but he said it in such a cool way, was like, look, I'm not going to deny that you're
right,
talented, I'm not going to try to marginalize you, but I don't know if can you really stomach all the rejection in LA, and then also being Asian American in LA. You know, keep in mind, like, this was, you know, late 80s, you know, when I was in, I mean, I'm 47, so when I was like in high school, so really there was
look like you're 46.
I screen test for 46, and occasionally I book 45 roles, but
what a bitch. I'm sorry. No, yeah. You really look incredible, and I'm sorry. I'm being a cunt.
Look, she put her hands in her face right now. Anna is visibly upset.
I constantly say to myself,
right,
I'm not going to take over. Don't do it. I'm going to fucking do. Sorry. Okay. Please. Oh, no. I want to hear the story so badly.
Yeah. So my dad was like, you know, what do you think your chances are? Acting is a non-linear profession. You're not, mm-hmm, so in medicine or other areas, if you work hard, you can get to that next level.
There's a clear ladder.
And so I was taught, even at an early age, the ladder wasn't clear, and I got it, and I understood what my dad was saying. So it was actually my decision to reluctantly, like, not enroll into drama, and it really killed me at that time, mm-hmm, because I stuck with pre-med, and then, you know, I just kind of gutted it out and got into med school.
And you must have missed the idea of performing.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I did a couple of plays, a couple of musicals. Did Kiss Me, Kate, and I was like in the core, and so I had, and I did a couple of a few one act plays at Duke, but I kind of thought
Kiss Me, Kate was actually based off of my neighbor named Kate. We were like friends, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, but things, like, as we got older, started, I don't know, they got a little freaky,
had a little misunderstanding.
Yeah,
next door neighbor, Kate Banks, is that her name? Yeah, I didn't know it was based,
like,
on that. Wow.
Hey, like, I gave her a little bit of, I gave her a little of a Mad Dog.
Oh, would you like some Mad Dog? Yeah? Would you like some Mad Dog? Anna? And then
I was
like,
well, hey, okay. Kate.
Oh, my God. You fell on my lips. I tripped. I fell on your lips. Oh, how did I do that? Oh. Three times.
Girl, girl, girl.
Was the song that I sang. I was in the
Kiss
chorus.
Me, Kate.
Kiss me, Kate. I fell on your mouth three times. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Girl, girl, girl. Oh, girl, oh, girl, just girl, like yesterday. Oh, man. Wow.
I'm so sorry you missed out on that.
I missed out on that. And my whole thing, I missed out on that, you know? Because, like, hey, yeah, 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 girl, 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 fell on my mouth three times, yo. Great song. I think Cole Porter wrote that. Am I right, guys?
You've got a lot to discover about yourself.
About yourself with Kate Banks.
Kate Banks. Banks, who do you know who you are?
I think I know who I am. Oh, I fell on your mouth.
I'm your creepy neighbor.
That's staring at you.
My name is Anna Faris. I've got a lot of theater in my soul.
And bones and soul and bones. It was a great play, guys. It was. I mean, I wish you were there, Sam.
I feel like I was
there.
Fuck
you. Fuck you, man. I mean, look. Seriously?
Yes.
Can I get a word in edgewise? I mean, seriously.
Yes.
Edgewise?
This is not good.
Can I get a...
This is amazing.
Edgewise.
You wanted this. You've been waiting for
Welcome
this.
Welcome to Edgewise with Sim. I can't get a word
53
in.
53 episodes in. This is exactly what you were hoping for.
Finally.
Finally, you got it.
I have my team partner.
You're amazing.
Someone
Seriously.
Okay, but wait. We've got more.
Yeah, got more.
You don't have to talk about any... You don't have to give any specifics. But did you have a girlfriend in... At Duke.
Yes, I had a girlfriend at Duke.
And how did that go?
We were both, it went great. We were both kind of nerdy pre-med, so great. It was towards...
Let's edit this out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Boring.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a girlfriend. Her name was Kate Banks.
She was super sexy.
She was super sexy, high-class prostitute.
She taught me the way.
She fell on my mouth three times.
Yeah, which she called my dick. Juicy stories. Come
which
on.
Was insulting.
Yeah.
Kate Banks. A filthy whore. Kate Banks.
Wasn't she like a Trideld or something?
No, not a... I mean, I have the most boring... I have literally the most boring, like, social life ever. I mean, I all my girlfriends, including my wife, who's a doctor, all my girlfriends were either pre-med or doctors or med students.
What's it like?
Every doctor I know is crazy.
They're out of their minds.
What do you
never,
mean?
No, but doctors are nuts.
Are they nuts?
My friends are doctors.
Yeah, Ken, are they nuts? More nuts than actors.
More nuts than actors. Whatever you say, Anna. Sure. Sure. Not as well adjusted as any actor or actress. No.
Good answer.
Doctors are crazy. They're cray cray. I would not.
I don't think they're smarter than they think they are.
They're not smarter than they think they are. I mean, God, what do they think? They don't know life and death if it farted on them. You know? They wouldn't know.
Oh, you think you're God.
Oh, you think you're God?
I'll show you God.
I'll show you God between my legs. Between my legs. That's heaven right there. My groin. You know? Fuck you, Sim. Seriously, dude. God! Seriously, I came here for a one-on-one conversation.
But wait, can you give us... Can you please give us some specific personality traits of people who enter the medical field?
Yes, I think you have to be a bit manic to do it, because if you're on call as a resident, you're on call for like 36 hours at a time, and you have to, I mean, you're up. There are times you have absolutely no sleep. You're admitting patients, and it is life or death.
Are you guys like of the numb point where you see in movies or TV shows when somebody dies and you're like, well, I guess moving on.
Oh my God. It's like you're in the calm room with us. Oh, wow. Oh my God. The lens of an actor just captured us perfectly.
Who wants to take a nap?
Oh my God. Are you following me around the house? Wow. Oh my God. Guess what? Oh, too bad. What's for lunch? Yeah. There's a lot
Tuna
of that.
Tuna salad. Wait, no.
What?
That
no.
was out of our vagina. Oh, come on. Too far.
Come on. Too far, Gladys. Gladys? You're just like Kate Banks. You're a filthy whore with those thoughts. Too far.
Oh, you come call on, let's it. Have some respect.
Let's have some respect. Let's have some respect for yeast infections, Gladys. Come on. Really? Horrible. But no, but to your point, like my wife and I, like she's a doctor and she still practices like 2 days a week, and you have to have a lot of my close friends who are physicians have a dark sensibility, you know, like we would never really say it, you know, but yeah, they
say
you,
it.
Okay. So, no, but I think to get through the day, and it's not really more jokes, it's just more of an attitude to kind of I'm not at all equating it to being in a wartime situation, but you have to maintain a certain tonality or a sense of humor to get through the day of anything very hard. You know, I mean, war being the hardest. And I think when you're a physician and you are, let's say, on like in the ER, where you're dealing with hardcore, you know, life-death issues, you have to maintain a certain edge, you know, and that's sense of humor is a part of it.
But don't you think, too, that there's if you can – when you're dealing with the idea of mortality all the time, there is a comfort in the idea if you can laugh about it, maybe there's something that it's it makes it an easier pill to swallow.
Well, I think like with what I did, I was a clinic doctor and I took care of, at my peak, maybe 2,000 patients total. This is before I went into acting full time. So, and I was always of the mindset, there's like a saying, and I'm paraphrasing, is like to cure is seldom, to heal is rare, but to comfort is always. And if all things being equal as a physician, if you had, everyone had equal kind of layers of aptitude, it's really about connecting with the patient. And at times, if you know them for years, you can have a sense of humor with them. And, or sometimes some people don't want to joke around. They're very sensitive, but I can go there too. Mm-hmm. So really, to me, everybody is different. Every 2,000 different personality, 2,000 different layers of sensitivities or expectations, and you act accordingly. I think having the versatility to, yeah, if you want to, if there's a person who wanted to joke around, I could do that. There's a person who didn't want to joke around at all, I could do that too. So as I started doing more acting and stand-up, even while I was doing medicine, you felt like medicine was in many ways like acting or like improv, where you're listening. You know, acting is listening, reacting, and improvisation is listening. So to me, I do kind of feel, all things being equal, knowing as long as you're capable as a physician, what I've learned from acting, if I was still practicing medicine today, medicine's an art form. Make medicine. You know, what I've learned about all this, whatever this is, make your vocation your art. You know, at that time it was medicine, and there's a bit of style that goes along with that, the way you practice. Yeah.
Quick question. I know you're not practicing medicine currently.
Right.
But if I were to, say, bludgeon you over the head with one of these candlesticks.
Right.
But you're still alive.
Right.
I haul you up to the attic.
Right.
And I make you be my personal physician.
Okay.
How mad would you be? Or maybe not so mad.
It would be an honor, sir. It would be an honor. And you just have to tell my family that I won't see them anymore, but no, I would love that.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do with a personal physician, though?
Fuck you,
Sim. Yeah, fuck you, just Sim. Why are you inquiring?
We were having a moment. We were having a moment to actually bonded.
Yeah. The doctor speaks.
Block the talk.
Yeah. Fuck you.
You're okay with this?
Yes. I said I was okay. Can't you see the look of joy on my face? Yes.
I have a lot of physical problems. I have a lot of mental problems. Yeah. And I...
Sounds like a cakewalk. Sounds easy. Easiest job ever, guys.
Free room and board.
Free room and board. Hey.
In the attic.
In the attic. I love heights. I love heights with no light.
Okay. So now we are going to go into... a segment. Are you ready for a segment series?
Okay.
Now, but this is where you have to imagine that you're single.
Okay.
So you might...
Wait, what's the segment called?
The segment is called... what the fuck is the segment called? Deal Breaker.
Deal Breaker or not?
Yeah. Oh, no. I was signaling because... I was just signaling that maybe you would... want another refreshment before we got into Deal Breaker, just in case.
Oh, okay.
You know, just in case.
You're not going to get me there. Three more, please.
Just in case I need to get you up to the
attic. I'm just
a good host.
Waiting. As a personal physician.
Okay. Now listen.
I have an attic to urinate on.
Ken, if I give you a bucket up in the attic, do you mind pooping and peeing in the bucket?
Yes, yes, a million times yes.
You do mind?
No, I don't mind.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's humane. It's a bucket.
You know what? You're a survivor. I love you. Oh. I'll leave a little window open so you can just dump it out.
Yeah. I say and do.
Sweet Robert will wash it off with a hose, even though.
Is that the
Don't tell the California drought people, because they're militants around here.
Okay. Now. Yeah.
I didn't know that's his name. Sweet Robert?
Sweet Robert.
He's a sour Billy. Is that are they a gardening tag team? Yeah.
Sweet Robert and Sour Billy.
Yeah, I think they defended.
They have that big truck. I saw.
Yeah,
saw
I think
that.
They defended the WWE titles against the British Bulldogs.
Davey Boy Smith.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now Ken, we're gonna have to go back to your single days.
Yeah. Yes.
Please imagine.
I just celebrated my. Well, whenever this airs, I celebrated our 12-year anniversary. Oh, which we called Monday.
I'm sorry, I have gorgeous twins.
I'm sorry,
I'm in a romantic marriage.
Sorry, I'm in a romantic marriage. Sorry, I'm in a romantic marriage. Sorry, I'm.
Sorry, my career went from being a doctor to being a huge movie star.
Yet I'm giving all that up to go to your attic.
Be a personal
and I, it, honestly, it's the passion.
Thank you.
You give me a bucket in the truth, and I'm fine.
Thank you so much. And I also, I've got like some sweet REI like sleeping bags.
Oh my God.
It's going
to
be super
it's like going to Yosemite, but in a place that's not.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you are single.
I'm single.
You just started dating a woman that you really like.
Okay.
She loves comedy, and her favorite book is Phil Jackson's Sacred Hoops. I love it that you're already laughing. She invites you over for her famous chicken parmesan.
I love that he's laughing already. This is amazing.
She is just about to prepare the chicken, but excuses herself to use the restroom. You hear her flush the toilet and not wash her hands. She comes back and starts handling the raw chicken. Deal breaker?
I could probably, you know, no. You know why? Because if all things equal, all things considered, if that was the only quote-unquote flaw, I mean, I could prescribe myself some Cipro to get it over the food poisoning. Got to think outside the box, people.
I love this.
I can work with her germinated hands.
I love that. That was the best answer.
Incredible.
Yeah. I could, no, I just prescribe myself some Cipro.
That's incredible.
But if I got resistant to that Cipro and I started getting like the trots, no, we're done.
Can you
prescribe? The moment we get the trots.
Can you prescribe me Ambien, seriously?
That's a personal question, but yes.
Okay. Look at Anna's eyes just light up.
It's a horrible question I'll never answer, but oh, okay. How dare you, sir?
Ken,
yeah, it's in the trunk of my Camry. I got some stuff in my Camry. Awesome. It's in the trunk. Got some stuff. A lot better than Ambien. A lot better than Ambien.
Okay, there's a couple that I want to do here. Okay, you're at a tiny wine bar in Los Feliz, drinking a gorgeous Grenache, having an enchanting evening with this gal that you've been dating. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Proust and his relationship with Madeleine's. You're getting lost in her eyes. And then she says, the moon landing was a hoax. Deal breaker or not?
I mean, if she is just as drunk as I am, and it's a bit or a scene lit.
No, she's serious.
She's serious.
Yeah, she's serious.
So you're saying to me we're having
an awesome time.
It's a great date.
Yeah. Stimulating academically, mentally, physically,
emotionally.
Says, everything is there.
The moon landing was a hoax.
Yeah.
I mean.
Should I be here? Let's do it.
I mean, okay. We'll act it out. And action. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always loved Proust. I mean, and that description of how the simplicity and the beauty of a French cookie, like the Madeleine. Mm-hmm. That is just, there's nothing more romantic. There's nothing more simplistic and existential and gorgeous as the idea of that simple bite of a sugary cookie cake.
I could not agree more. Can we make out now?
No. Okay. Because actually, I wanted to tell you something else. Okay. We did not land on the moon. Nobody's ever landed on the moon. That was a hoax.
Hey, you're sleeping over tonight, right?
At your place? Or?
Yeah.
Like I did last night?
Yeah. I mean, just before I answer that question, I just want to kind of establish.
You want to know if you get fucking boned?
No, that's gauche. But yes.
Well, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think that we actually landed on the moon?
Oh, my boner's going down now.
So you pretty much think that we did. Because did you see the shadow? There was no shadow. There was no shadow.
Just give me a second. I think
one small
step. I can get it back.
One small step. One small, small step.
Please stop fake singing. And okay, I think I
for womankind.
It's getting smaller. It can get there. I just need a.
Okay, so basically, what you're telling me is that you question nothing.
Okay.
You don't question anything. You are pretty much spoon-fed all the information that, let's say, our textbooks.
Like, listen, honey, you can call me a lot of things.
Oh, I love it when you call me honey.
Don't. Okay.
Yep, call me honey again. Okay. Call me honey.
Well, call me spoon-fed again, and then see what happens. Hey, you want to fuck at all? Hey, changing the subject, pivoting.
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to fuck. I would like to fuck. I'd like to fuck on the moon.
You said it was a hoax. So that means you don't want
Let's
to.
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's prove
okay.
you wrong.
All right.
Let's go to the fucking moon
okay.
for the first time.
Okay, you know what? First of all, you said fuck and moon sarcastically, which are like two deal breakers for me. One hurts my feelings,
why?
And one of them is the moon.
Moon hoots hurt your feelings?
The moon hoots my feelings, okay? Yeah, moon hoots. And okay. It's just, whatever. Look, I'm still holding out hope. We're going strong right now. I still think we're a couple technically. So I'm not, you know.
Okay, but I have to tell you something about me.
Mm-hmm.
I am really sensitive, and I'm also really smart, okay?
Okay.
So when I say that we don't go to the moon, we don't go to the fucking moon, okay? That means the whole thing is a whole fucking conspiracy. Do you know what conspiracy means?
The C word. Okay. Hey. Wow. I got to go.
No, you do not. You are staying here with me because you are my ride. Oh, this is the worst. This is a whole new character.
But that's great, though. I love that.
And scene, guys. I think we. Oh my god,
yeah.
I felt
he's
it.
Awful.
How do you get? How do you get out of a date like that? Do you just leave? Do you say I can't be a part of this anymore? And just, I've never left a date ever. Have you ever?
Have
left
you
a
ever
date?
Had a date like that though?
I've been on dates where they were awful.
Really?
But I've never.
Well,
left.
I tried. I'm so wrong. I've never talked about it. But yeah, I did. I was on a date once, and I could just. It was a little bit like this vibe, and I do remember being like, okay, hey, I gotta just trying to make any excuse to go. It was supposed to be like an all-day affair, like hanging out
right.
all day, and I just, within
you just were
couple,
like,
a couple hours, I was just like, oh, okay, this is, you know, it is
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not going to happen, and and that person, I kind of, no, I was kind of guilted into kind of staying a few, a little longer.
Oh, you
longer.
Did a little longer.
A little
okay.
longer, yeah.
Well, it was nice of you to do that.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was sweet.
But I felt, oh my God, my headshot.
Wait, so Ken,
nice.
Will you describe what Anna just passed you?
Well, it's a man with a very with a left arm bigger than the right. It's got six fingers. The right arm has four fingers. There's glasses.
All right. Can I be your Can I be your therapist?
Sure.
So, can when you drew this, what were you feeling?
Well, I was feeling strong on my left side, so I felt like, hey, I could lift, I could lift some 30-pound dumbbells on my left arm, but
now,
but I can't lift anything on my right arm. Do I have a stroke? First of all, that was what I was concerned about.
Now, I just want to.
But then I realized I just slept on my right arm. I felt like it was okay. And then I was like, I'm definitely excited about something. Probably Duke winning a sixth NCAA championship, yo. And, but my vision's bad. And I got a new prescription pair of sunglasses, a pair of glasses. I'm sorry. I've angered you, and I will do better. I'll change. I'm sorry.
Was the Duke thing that angered
you? It was a Duke thing, I think. Noel. Oh. Hey. Hey. Oh, that was the cutest seizure I've ever. It's okay. I know how to treat it.
I got the cutest seizure.
Got a cutest seizure with Kiss Me Kate Banks. Wait,
can you sing I've Got the Cutest Seizure in as a tribute to Willy Wonka and Gene Wilder just died, but sing it in like I've Got the Golden Ticket? I've Got the Cutest.
But how do we
I've got a golden ticket.
Yeah, I know, but
what's
I've
got the cutest seizure.
Right. I've got the cutest seizure in the land.
Yeah.
I've got the cutest seizure. I've got the cutest seizure. I've got the cutest seizure in the land. But you know what? I really want to be one of those grandparents that is just in bed all day.
I want to be a parent that's in bed all day. Fuck grandparents. I want to be. I just
be. Thanks for one-upping.
No, I don't.
Me,
no, I didn't mean to one-up. No,
you totally. All right.
Sim?
Fuck. Yes.
Yes. I'm such, you were gonna I'm say an
I
asshole.
Ran out of event. Sorry.
Okay, so wait.
Yep.
Are you ready for the next one?
Yep.
You were on your first overnight trip in Aspen with a girl you've been dating for 5 months. You are really fallen for her. Your parents love her.
Mm.
It starts to get hot and heavy at around 11, 12 p.m.
Mm. Yeah, it's past my bedtime, but it's okay.
It's fine.
She says.
You had me, then you lost me. I got to bed at 9:30. It's fine.
At around 11, 12
Ooh.
P.m.
Great.
She says, give me a second.
Right.
And then disappears into her closet. Reappears with her carry-on. She says, you're the perfect man. There's only one thing that's been bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to wax your balls. And then she pulls out a waxing kit.
Well, I mean,
deal breaker?
No, because my I'll tell you why.
I love how you're so rational.
Well, it's a medical thing. It's a medical thing. You. My taint or perineum is hairless, so I think it's a wasted trip. So
no, but
pretty much.
Really?
She didn't say wax your taint. She said wax your balls.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean,
still.
I mean, you know, it's not that.
Not
hairy.
Too hairy.
No, not too hairy.
Fuck.
So it's okay.
What?
So not a deal breaker.
You're a ball buster.
I'm a ball waxer.
Hey, do you manscape?
No. I do. Well, I did. I did for a movie, but I did not. Yeah, but not in my.
What is your feeling about female body hair?
I love it. I mean, you know, yeah. Doesn't bump me.
Sounds like it might.
Maybe it does. What's that line from 40 Old Virgin? Like, I like to keep it real 70s down there. So, no, it actually does. It doesn't. I've given it thought. And I think it doesn't. Very See, nice. Made up my mind.
Fine.
Pretty much stuck to it.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, next one.
Yep.
You have just started dating a neurosurgeon who looks strikingly similar to Charlize Theron. After a great date of rollerblading in Olive Garden, you head back to her place. Things, once again, are starting to get hot and heavy. And she goes down on you for the first time. You realize her dog has wandered into the room and is staring at you. You tell her and she replies, "That's okay. He likes to watch." Deal breaker?
No. I'm okay with the dog watching.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's fine.
I'm kind of...
Most people are, I think, okay with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Charlize Theron is like in your bed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's an easy one.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, you were the one who came up with this.
No, Cassie came up with it.
What? Let's not.
You're the one that approved it.
You know what? We cannot throw each other under the bus with this. Okay, now, listen. Ken, we have an improv.
A lady, beautiful lady with no issues wants to have sex with you. What, deal breaker? Sure. Yeah, sure.
We don't have
sure, to. I won't do it.
What do you mean?
Do we have two copies of this?
Yes, we do. Here you go.
Okay, so now, Ken.
You don't want to ask him? You don't want to ask him this one right here?
Because why don't you do it?
No, we touched upon this. This one right here. It's really important that you ask that one, I think.
Why?
Because you touched upon it.
Hey, guys, I'd like to talk about my album, which is going to drop next Tuesday. I mean, I don't know if we got around to that.
Oh,
nope, nothing.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Okay, cool.
You're on a first.
It just drops next Tuesday. Whatever. It's fine. I'm here to plug my album.
You're on a first.
I mean, I don't know if I got my acoustic in the back, and I just want, whatever. We can do all this. Probably cut a lot of this relationship stuff out. I'm really just here to plug my album, but whatever. It's fine. It's all good.
You're going
to
make a fucking shit ton of money plugging your album.
Yeah, Kiss Me, Kate Banks. So, this indie label is really cool.
Okay, so you're on a first date with Michelle, who also went to Duke undergrad. Over a glass of wine, she loudly proclaims how much she hates the Tar Heels. Deal breaker?
No, because I went to Duke. And
yeah, but you went to UNC also.
Yeah, but I didn't.
That's what I told you.
I never rooted for
I
them.
I knew it. I told you. I told you that.
I never rooted for Carolina.
I win. Whatever
Even
we
when
bet,
I went to Carolina.
Whatever we bet, I won. I told you. It doesn't count for grad school. It only counts for undergrad.
Oh, yes, my God.
Thank you.
The walls are bleeding. How did this...
Ken, oh my. Get the fuck out of here.
But I'm your personal physician that lives in your attic. I gave up my wife and kids for this.
Sim, give me that candlestick.
Sim, you're my trusted ally who I've never said fuck you to. 100%. You can help me.
No, you can't. I can't help
what?
You with this.
Come on. I thought you were a man of the people.
Well, her brother went to UNC Chapel Hill.
Oh, your brother went.
Yes, we're a family of Tar Heels. That's why. Sorry, I should have informed you about that.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, look at your fake voice.
that's great. Still a dookie. Yeah. So, no, I have actually, I was so obnoxious as a Duke fan, like when I was in med school, in my 20s. But now I love Carolina. I love Duke. I'm very mellow. And actually, when I did before I went to Duke, I was a big Carolina fan during the Michael Jordan years.
Okay.
And I had like light blue wallpaper as a kid. I'm talking like 10 years old. And I was so into basketball, so into Carolina basketball. The biggest irony is I never thought that I could go to Duke. I wanted to go there for the academics to be a doctor, but I didn't know, could I really root for Duke? And once I went to Cameron Indoor Stadium, my first home game, you cannot, once you go there, it's...
Yeah, but everyone hates Duke basketball.
Everyone hates it, and for a good reason, because if you're outside of if you're outside of Cameron...
They made a 30 for... Wait, you're in the... are you in the 30 for 30?
Yeah, I'm in the Christian Leitner.
That's right. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I hate Christian Leitner.
Yeah.
Sorry, realization. It's just one of the things that... I knew you were in that.
Sim, will you pass me that candelabra?
Oh, God. That's the biggest, sharpest candelabra. Oh! My head hurts. Ouch!
It'll be sharper than that when it actually happens. Okay, now, wait. I'm so awful. I'm so sorry. Okay, so can we do this improv?
Yes.
All right. Wait, so...
I gave you two copies.
Okay. Okay. So now here, you will be Dr. Barnett. Don't read it until I give you...
Just like my scripts, I never read it. So no problem there.
Okay.
No problem there, good sir.
All right. So I am a casting director in Hollywood.
Okay.
My name is Shirley Sherwin.
Hi, Ms. Sherwin. It's so great to be here. It's an honor to pre-read for you.
Thank you so much. I have to tell you, I've had my eye on you for a while, and I really think you have great talent.
Wow, that means so much. Thank you.
So we're casting this incredible, incredible. It's going to be like the new St. Emil's Fire. It's going to be like the new ER. It's going to be like... Anyway, you're coming in for the role of Dr. Barnett. Okay. In this show called okay. Heartbeat. Okay. And the lead is Dr. Camille Hart. And we're thinking, I mean, I don't want to like give away too much, but we're thinking that it's going to be like Reese Witherspoon or Jennifer Garner, or like there's going to be like a really big female star that's going to be like Dr. Chemo.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, so just so you know, anyway, it turns out she doesn't have a ton of heart, but she's going to find it.
Okay.
One of these days.
Okay.
With the help of Dr. Barnett.
Copy that.
Okay. So you've got a patient and I will be the patient. Okay. All right. You enter the room with her charts and you say...
I've got some difficult news for you.
Lay it on me, Doc. I don't give a fuck. My life was gone a long time ago.
But you're only 13. I'm sorry you're in a bit of a pessimistic place in your life.
Turns out going to the best schools doesn't make your parents adore you.
You have early stages of Lyme disease?
Fuck yeah, I thought so. I told my dad.
And scene. Thank you so much. I really
appreciate
it.
No, wait. I was wondering if you could do, if we could do the scene again.
Okay.
But this time, let's pretend that you have sort of a lust for this 13-year-old.
I mean, that's how I played it, but okay, I can do it some more.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Let's I don't know. Let's play a little bit of a pedophilic element to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. I just want to get this straight just before we go into it. So, as if I have lust for the patient who is 13 years old. Mm. Okay. This is going on a broadcast network or?
Yeah, for sure. NBC.
Okay. 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 Hey, babe, I've got some difficult news for you.
Lay it on me, Doc. I don't give a fuck. My life was gone a long time ago, along with my tight pussy.
Hey, lighten up. You're only 13. I mean, that's... So you're getting old. Sorry. You're in a bit of a pessimistic place in your life. Jeez, I don't have such low self-esteem just because you're not 12 or 11 anymore.
Yeah, Doc. I'm sorry that my tits aren't big enough for you.
Not in the script.
Sorry that my labia isn't swollen enough for you. I'm sorry, Doc, but you're the only person I can trust these days.
Tiffany, you have early stages of Lyme disease. And if that doesn't get me hard, I don't know what will. And scene. I think we got it, guys. Guys, see you on set. You know, I mean, it'll probably be a no quote, but I'm sure just for the passion alone I have for the project, I'm in.
let's do a 5-minute break and we'll come back and we'll call some listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay.
That was amazing.
Okay.
That was incredible.
Oh my God. Ken, are you like appalled?